Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
We started the church in January of 1988 for only a few people in the basement of my house. You will know already that our church has been practicing mentoring or discipleship from the first day. I remember when I started the church, I have a folder. This, I tell you a story just to help you to understand. I have a folder. The beginning, the first few months, I have only 10 members. So I have a folder in each paper, in each page of that folder, I have a name of my member or the chief, and I write down the lesson, and I check whether this member listened to this sermon or not, whether they go to this class or not, and if they don't listen to that sermon, I will make sure I give them the tape to make sure they listen. If they miss one Sunday, they will get the tape next Sunday, making sure that they listen to every sermon, and I will meet them one-on-one. In fact, this is what God spoke to me before I started the church. He said like this, take care of my people. There are so many people in this city that have not been taken care. Can you take care of them for me? The word take care to me is really mean personal care, not just a big congregation that you just come in and try to preach to a big group of people, but they go home and nothing get done. I'm talking about personal care. From the first day of the church, I have a burden to see every member in the church is being discipled, being cared or trained or looked after and built up spiritually. That's the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life all along. When the church was small, it's easier to do because we have only a few people. It's easy to keep track on everybody. It's easy to call everybody and say, how are you doing? You know, if you came to the church at the beginning, you get my phone call. You will get my visitation. I remember when we started the church, the first few years, I really begged people to stay with me. You know, the church finished by around 1 or 2 p.m. for lunch. And then people will go out and rest a little bit. And they come back to a house at around 4 or 5 p.m. And I will teach them the class. And they stay with me until 7 or 8 p.m. at night. And I really train them and disciple them to serve God. The first generation was so tough because they have to stay with me all day long from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. It was like that for a long time. But when the church grows more, we change a little bit because we cannot do that anymore. But the heart desire is still the same. I want to see all of you grow and change and become disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see you become really strong Christian and have impact for the kingdom of God. So I want to resurrect this issue back to the church. I want to see people are strong and discipled. I have to admit that in the past many years, I did not talk about this issue that much because I just came into revival in 1997, 1998. And revival, the touch of the fire of God changed me and my wife so much. And it's so new to us that I have to study and learn and bring the new issue to the church. The issue of the fire of God is so new in the body of Christ. I mean, it's not new. It's been going on since the book of Acts. But most churches don't practice the fire of God. And because it's so foreign to us and foreign to the body of Christ, I spend a lot of time studying and understanding, and I try to teach and impart that issue into the local church here. But now, I think most of people get it now about the fire of God. Most people understand now. Now, I want to bring back the issue of mentoring. In fact, I tell you the truth that on the night last year, when I was driving out from the Warm Beach camp in July last year, it was so clear. God was speaking to me on the way up to I-5. He said, son, make sure next year on, you resurrect discipleship and mentoring to the local church. You already been teaching about the fire of God for a few years. Now you bring that back. My people need to be mentored. My people need to be strong. They need to be the bride of Christ. And I believe that if the Antichrist comes, not if, when he will come. When the Antichrist comes, those who are going to last and survive to the end in faith are those who are strong Christians. Those who are weak Christians may be wiped out by persecution or by the pressure of the world system or the whatever the Antichrist wants to do. But people who are disciples, people who are strong, will last to the end and will go to heaven together and will see great harvest at that time. How many people want to stay to the end to go to heaven together? You want to? Is that right? Okay. So tonight I would like to talk about the definition of spiritual mentoring or discipleship. What is spiritual mentoring? Mentoring is a relational experience. Everyone say relational. It depends on relationship between one person who is called a mentor and another person who receive the training or receive the empowerment from another person. So one person can be a young believer, can be older believers, can be leadership in the church, can be regular members. One person empowers another person. One person minister to another person by sharing God's given resources. In other words, whatever God has given to you, you may be a one-year-old Christian, and whatever you receive from God in that 1 year, you can go and help another person who is younger and share that resource to that person. I can give you one example in the church. There's one member in the church, her name is Yao. Yao may not be a preacher on the pulpit. Yao may not be a teacher in the Sunday school or in the care group. Yao is a housewife. But when a sister comes into the church, her name is Lisa, who need help. Yao, who was only 2 years old Christian, went to visit Lisa, cooked for Lisa, encouraged Lisa, called her up, took her to church, encouraged her, everything. And that is a process of mentoring. She may not teach her, but she used the resources in her life, that is the love, the faith, to help a younger believer named Lisa to come along and eventually commit her life to Jesus and to the local church. The process of mentoring is about one person has a personal relationship with another person who will receive something from a mentor. Therefore, mentoring is a relational process. It's a process. It takes some time. Someone who knows something, who experiences something, who has something that he received or she received from God, transfer those things, transfer something that she or he has to someone else at the sensitive time so that it will impact the growth, the development of that person. When I say sensitive time, it means that all of us walking with God, we go through the process. I'll give you an example. In my own life, it's step by step that God lead me. In 1982 to 1985, I was in the Southern Baptist Church, and there were two American Southern Baptist missionary. At that sensitive time of my life, that time, I was discipled by them. I and Pastor Da were discipled by two American missionaries. They taught me the first 5 books of the Bible. They trained me to preach. They trained me how to be a pastor. They spent time with me every week. They came to my home. They taught me the Bible. And then God moved me to the U.S. in 1985. So those 3 years, I was discipled. That chapter closed with the American missionary, but we still contact each other. I still love them. I just went to visit them last year. They were in the southern part of America. We love them dearly because without them, I would not be like this today. They are in the part of my life that I grow to today. When I came here, I was discipled by another person. And then I was discipled by another group of people. And then one day I met another evangelist down in Tampa, Florida. Then he discipled me
for many years. So you can see that each and every one of us go through the process of growing. In this process, from one day to another day, one month to another month, from one year to another year, on and on and on, God will send somebody in. You need to be discipled though. You need to be willing to be trained and changed. But God sent in somebody at the sensitive time, at the right time, with the right message, with the right encouragement to help us, to help you and me to go to the next step, to progress, to grow, to develop. God used you the same thing. At certain time of your life, God may use you to disciple somebody. And it may take 2 years. It may take 3 years. It may take 5 years. And eventually that chapter close. Go to the next chapter. That person go to the next person because your gift is not suitable for that person anymore. That person, your mentoree or your disciple that God gave to you, need another person to mentor or to disciple. You back off, disciple another person. You see, no one owns anybody. We don't own anybody. And they don't own you either. It's just the process that God uses to take all of us, every one of us, to the maximum level that God wants us to be before we die and leave this world. Therefore, we need to have the desire. We need to have a goal that God, before I die, I want to, before I leave this world, I want to be the maximum where you want me to be, the most productive, the most influential person. When I say influential, I don't mean you influence people for money. Influence means lead more people to Christ. More people will be blessed through you. You are the vessel. So God is training you in that process. And at the same time, God is using you to do something, influence other people. You see, we all both are disciples and we disciple other people. We are growing and we're helping other people to grow. Don't stop growing. Don't say, oh, I graduate, so I don't need any more training any longer. I don't need any more discipleship. No, we are still growing. I'm still growing. I still need people to come and disciple me. Amen. So we are on that process, and every one of us, that's why I say it's a sensitive time. So there is a timing of season of our life. Certain season, God used this person. Another season, God used another person. And the same thing, in certain season, God used you to minister to that person and then move on to another person. Amen. I remember I moved from Baptist church and then God shifted me out from Baptist church to be in, I think it's Assembly of God church, that type, Pentecostal, Spirit-filled church. And I was in Spirit-filled church for a few years. Then God moved me to a church that learned how to plant church, learned how to disciple people. And then in 1997, God moved me forward into revival, understand about faith, about moving in the things of the Holy Spirit. But I never forsook what I learned from Baptist church, the good things that I learned from them. I never forsook the good things that I learned from the Assembly of God church. I keep moving. I keep moving to the perfection of Christ. You understand what I'm talking about here? In this process of discipleship or mentoring, there are three things that you do, three kinds of empowerment that need to take place in order to produce effective mentoring relationship. If you keep this in mind, that every time you mentor somebody, these three things have to be worked on. Number one, character. You are not just trying to give people knowledge, head knowledge. You try to help people to change their character. In fact, I put character first. Because character comes before ability. People can be so able, but if their character is poor, is weak, they will fall one day. Character comes first. In our church, as a pastor, I'm not looking for capable people. I'm looking for people with good character first. Because we can train them later on to have ability to do the job. But if people don't have the right character, they will fall one day. They will make a mess one day. So the first thing we train people is to train their hearts, their character, their way of life. For example, faithfulness. We want to train people to be faithful. Whether up or down, raining or sunshine, snow or the windstorm, and no electricity, no power in the house. No matter what happened, whether you were in school as a student, or you got married for already 3 years, or you have 3 kids or 1 kid, or your kids grow up, no matter what happened, you will be faithful to God to do whatever He calls you to do. Amen. You don't stop. You don't just quit. You are faithful people. You want to train people to be faithful. You want to train people to have discipline in life. What does it mean, discipline in life? It means that they are spending their time and money and resources in their life in the godly and biblical way. You have discipline. You know how to control your tongue. You know how to control how you spend money, how to control your time. You have discipline in life instead of being in a mess like all the time, just, you know, you don't know how to arrange your time. You don't know how to spend money, get into a big debt, spend more than you earn money or something like that. You need to train people to have a life of discipline. And not only that, another thing of character is you want people to have integrity. Integrity. What does it mean, integrity? I like this definition that I learned a few Sundays ago, a few weeks ago. Integrity means the goodness and the godliness of God is deep on the inside of you and shine out through your skin, to your life. In other words, you are not a hypocrite. You are real both inside and outside. If you speak sweet words, it really mean it from your heart. You are not pretending. You have godliness on the inside of you and it shine out of you because you have integrity. You are real. You are so sincere. You are not fakey. You are real with God and with people. Another kind of character that we want to develop in people's life is positive thinking. You want people to be positive, not negative. If you notice, our God is a positive God. He's not negative. He thinks everything positively. Because positive go along with faith. Every time you think negative, it's doubt. It's lack of faith. You want to train people to be positive in that thinking and also have biblical thinking. Even though we love the move of the Holy Spirit, we love to lay hand, and you know, I love to see the Holy Spirit touch people. I love to see the fire of God burn and touch people and change people by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love it to see God is moving, touching people and changing people. But we cannot quit teaching the Bible because we need to have a foundation. We need to have boundaries in our life. Pastor Richard Holland said, if you have only the Bible, you dry up without the Holy Spirit. If you have only the Holy Spirit without the Word, you blow up. But if you have both the Word and the Holy Spirit, you grow up. So you still need to train people to think in the biblical way by teaching the Bible, by putting the biblical perspective into their life, building their character. Number two, what else do you build people up? What else do you do in mentoring? You try to train them to have skills. Skills. How do you help people to develop skills? You identify and help them to develop their talents and their gifts. You find their talents. When I first met Pastor Cesar, I did not know his talents and gifts. But after a while, I began to notice that he has the gift of preaching. He has that gift. So I let him preach to develop that gift. You try to help people to develop skill and talents of serving people. Help them to develop the leadership skill. Give people the chance to do something for God so that they can develop their leadership skill. That's why we have care group, so that in the care group, you can train to lead the small group meeting. You can be trained to how to teach the Bible, how to lead worship, and how to preach, how to lead people to Christ. All these things can happen in the small group. Develop the leadership style. Develop their sphere of influence that they can influence more people. And give them opportunity to serve the Lord. Get involved in the local church as soon as possible. So that they can develop their skills of serving the Lord. Amen. Give them some assignment to do something. That's how you train disciples. You give them assignment. You give them the chance to do whatever they need to do according to their giftings. Number three, not only skills, not only character. You help people to grow in the area of values and motives. We want to help people to have biblical values. We want to help people to have biblical motives. In other words, everything you say, everything you do in life, there are always underlying reasons. Is that right? Think about it. Why do you go to work today? Paycheck. If you go to work because you know you're going to get paycheck on February 14 and February 28. The underlying motive that you wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning, get dressed and go to work because you know that you're going to get a paycheck to pay your mortgage, to pay your gas bill and the utility bills. There is motive behind. Why do you go to school? There's a motive behind. There is underlying reason behind why you go to school for many years. Some of you want to be a doctor. Some of you want to be a nurse. Whatever, you have a motive behind. The same thing. In serving the Lord, in being a disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to have Christ's motive. We need to train people to have the right motive in serving the Lord. In fact, I just have a conversation with Pastor Da in the car a while ago that I was burned by a few guest speakers in my life that I'm so careful now. Because after a while, when you get close to somebody, you start to know their motive. And the things that I don't like the most in dealing with ministry is financial motive. Every time I see people want to come to minister just because they want money, it really annoys me, really bug me. Because to me, to do the ministry is not money. It's about loving people. It's about wanting to see people grow, change, strong, be used by God. That is the motive. Because we love people. But every time people come and with the agenda, like how much you're going to pay me? What kind of hotel you're going to open for me? And all this motive, like all for their own kingdom, their own reputation, to build their own ministry, to build their own name, is really hard for me because I don't want our members to learn from that kind of attitude from the preacher. I want people who come because they love Jesus and they love people and they want to see people grow and financial benefit or financial blessing will come later on. Don't worry about it. It will come. God will feed His servant. Is that right? So everything is about motive here. We want to train in our church people who really serve God out of love, out of obedience, don't build their own kingdom, not think about financial gain, any position, any reputation, or anything for themselves. It's all about God. In fact, lately, yesterday, I was just talking to God at home. I like to spend time talking to God. And I say, God, all these years, I began to realize that it's all about you. Have you ever thought that way? Everything that happened in this world happened to me, happened to you, who God lead to me, who I meet in my life, what happened in my job, what happened in this church. Even God gave Da to me as a lovely wife. All these things. It's not about me. It's about God. It's for Him. He is the main character of the whole movie. He's the main person. Everything is about God. It's not about my name. It's not about your name. It's not about anything. It's about Jesus. Amen. If you can think this way, everything we do is about Him. It's for Him and it's for His glory. So we want to train people to have the right motive, the right value, the right skill and character. And if we become that kind of person, we can train people to have the same character, the same kind of values and motive. That's why if you watch carefully in our church, everybody in our church, every servant in our church, you don't see even one person in this church serve God because they're looking for financial gain. Because since the first day in this church, I never served God because of financial gain. And they all learn from my spirit. That we are not here for money. We are here just for the kingdom of God. And you can see that in the whole church. Everyone sacrifice, serve, spend their money. They drive, they do everything. They open their homes. No one think about little penny, how much they're going to charge the church, and you know, oh, how much church had to give to me. No one have that kind of attitude in this church. I thank God for that we have very godly people in our church. I see Brother Millard. He went home, spent many, many hours to edit the video, DVD, putting things in the podcast, never asked even for one penny. All these hours. I mean, if I hire some technical person to do this, you know how much we have to pay? How many bucks an hour? Look at all the worship team here. Most churches, when they have worship team, they have to hire worship leader, hire drummer, hire guitar person. Sometimes these people, after they play guitar, they walk out and walk out through the door and go home. They don't even stay in the meeting. They just come to play guitar to get the paycheck. That will never happen in this church. If they come to play for the paycheck, get out of here. Serving God is not about paycheck. Serving God is a privilege. You are the priest of God. It's a privilege to come up. But definitely, we give people. We help people. We will never let Pastor Cesar get hungry as a full-time pastor. We will make sure we take care of him well, that he will not get hungry. Amen. We make sure. That's why our church, we have offering to one another all the time. Sometimes suddenly I see some people get into financial difficulty. We give money to that person quietly. But not because it's a paycheck. But we help each other. We want to make sure that everyone is doing well. No one get hungry in this church. We look after one another in the church. Amen. So we want to build that kind of disciples. Who are mentors? Mentors are different from the word teachers. They are deeper than the word teachers. When we have time later on or tonight, we're going to learn that there are many kinds of mentors. But mentors basically mean somebody who have a desire to see others grow spiritually. I have to tell you that this is a noble desire. If you have that desire in your heart that you want to see other believers grow spiritually, I want to salute you. I want to bow to you. I want to say thank you, because that is a godly desire. You know what? Most people in the world are selfish, including a lot of Christians. I'm sorry to say this, but it's real. Most people will only mean their own business. Oh, my house, repairing my house, my vacation home, my vacation, my retirement, me. My rest, me, everything. And that mentality also soaked into the church too. But if you notice, God is different. God left heaven, came down to see you grow. He came out of heaven. Because he is concerned for you. He wants to see you saved, healed, set free, delivered, blessed, strong, full of glory, full of anointing. He wants to give to you. He wants to bless you. That is the heart of God, is to see others grow and blessed. Amen. So mature Christian would love to see other people rise up and grow. And we want to see that kind of Christian in our church. A mentor has a special desire to see others grow. Because of that, they begin to use their influence. They begin to sow the seed of influence. Whatever God has given to them, they begin to transfer. They sow the seed into other people's life. And we're going to learn later on how they sow that seed. So that their life or their influence can impact another life to the point that life will impact society, impact the kingdom of God, and even to the nations. You may not know that some of you may be greeting the next generation Billy Graham in this room. Who knows that one of these students one day may be like Billy Graham? Don't look down on ladies. Ladies can be evangelists. Some of you maybe one day have a big 10 meeting, thousands of people get saved, millions of people get saved. in this church. Who knows? Is that right? Don't look down on people. You may not see what God is going to use them 10 years from now. I have that expectation. I believe I'm shaking hands with somebody who's going to shake some city, some nations one day. I believe God is preparing somebody for the great things that are going to happen in the world in this generation. Amen. And also don't look, I'm talking about students, they are young because they have many years ago. But don't look down on older people like some of you here. I don't want to mention name because you will be mad at me. Some of you may think I'm too old. No. You're not too old. Because you know Smith Wigglesworth started serving God at, I think, 50-something years old. He started serving God at more than 50 years old, 55 or something. So God still can use people who are older too. And he is a great man of faith, Smith Wigglesworth. He started late, but he impacted the body of Christ so much in only a few years. So God can do anything if you're willing to. Amen. Remember this. If you train somebody and that person becomes Billy Graham one day, you get the same reward because you are the one who imparted to that man or that woman. Is that right? So don't look down on the day of small things because somebody may make a great impact into the world one day. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that the missionary, American missionary who trained me in 1982 to 1985, never thought at all that this young doctor going to be a pastor in America with a few hundred members in this church and also impact about 1,000 Thai people in November last year. They never thought about it at that time. But because of their discipleship, a mentoring process upon me, I am here today to serve the Lord. Amen. So look to the future. You're doing something that can impact the whole world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sow the seed into people's life. Amen. According to John Maxwell, he wrote a book and he said this, everyone has influence. Everyone has influence. How many people agree? You have certain amount of influence on somebody around you. Therefore, every Christian can be a mentor. Even a young believer, only 5 weeks old, can influence a one-day-old Christian. Influence somebody in a certain way. However, the scope, the level, and the sphere of influence may be different in each person. Why? Because each person come out from different backgrounds, have different giftings, different passions in the heart, different personalities. We all come from different backgrounds and different experiences. And not only that, each year we are at a different level, so we can have different level and scope of influences on people around us. But I want to encourage you one thing. Why don't you pray to God on a regular basis? God, every day goes by, could you please change me? That the sphere of my influence will keep growing and growing and growing, and I can impact more people. Before I die, I will impact more people. You will see more souls in heaven because of your life. Don't be content with small influence. Think about bigger influence. You can see more people come into the kingdom and grow more. Amen. As you go by, you should be more and more anointed, having more and more knowledge. You can have more dynamic in your influence on people. Don't be stagnant. I listened to a sermon called A Stench of Stagnation. You know stench mean bad smell. Every time a Christian stops growing, it's smelling because you are dying. You need to keep growing and you can have more influence on people. Do you know that ministry or serving God in the local church like this or serving the Lord in any capacity is about people? Do you know that? It's not about that chair. It's not about that camera. It's not about sound system. It's about people. You want to impact people into the kingdom of God as much as you can. You want to pull people up to grow more and love God more and become more effective and fruitful as much as you can. Because it's a people business. It's about people. It's about loving people. It's about touching people. It's about influencing people. It's about helping people to move on. Amen. Why do I lay hands every Sunday? Because I know that the more Holy Spirit touch you, the better for you. Believe me, I have experience already. God changed me so much by the Holy Spirit. And I know that you need the same thing. You need the touch of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to be changed as fast as I can, to influence more people as much as you can, because we have only limited time in life. I want you to be very strong, very powerful. I want God to change you as fast as you can. Amen? Hallelujah. Have you ever thought, maybe sometimes you think, you sit down at home, eating dinner, and you thought about 5 years ago, somebody come through your life for a few months. That person may not be an educated person. That person may not be a theologian or a big pastor from some church. But that person come through your life, talking to you, minister to you, and then pass by. But those 3 or 4 months that that person talked to you impact you to today. Have you ever had that kind of experience? That is a process of mentoring, but it's a short-term, temporary mentoring. Later on, we're going to learn about 3 kinds of mentoring: active, temporary, and passive mentoring. 3 kinds. 3 kinds of mentoring, and later on. God can use different type of people to come and mentor you, either actively or temporarily or passively. The mentor can be your husband. The mentor can be a friend in the church. A mentor can be your pastor. A mentor can be your care group leader. It can be your parents. Actually, every parent should mentor their children to grow more. Sometimes my kids shake their head. Dad, you talk about God again. But I just ignore. Actually, on Sunday night, I went out of the church to try to take my daughter back home from the hospital. So I walk into her room. And after a while, I couldn't stop. I start talking about God again. And she said, I'm sick here. You talk about God again. Yes, because God is good. This morning, I sent my son to school. And he was sitting in the back. Pastor Dai and I, we were driving to school. And then we say, Paul, we're going to pray for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, please bless our children, Tanida, Joy, Paul. And make them strong, Lord. And Paul sit like this. He prayed for me again. You know, he make his face like, again. But I know that one of these days when he grow up, he's going to learn that lesson from me, that he will pray for his kid. And he's going to remember all this prayer that I prayed for him for years and years. He will remember, believe me. And now he may like, again. You know, teenager like want to look cool. My dad prayed for me. Oh, it's not cool. We should play a game or something together. But again, you influence, you mentor your kids. What to do? Amen. That's why I never sit in the car and criticize any pastor in front of my kids. Because if I do that, I bring bad damage to their heart. Because one day they're going to criticize too. They're going to criticize church. They're going to criticize people. So be careful what you do, what you say in front of your kids. Amen. So mentor can be anybody around you. You can learn from anybody, but definitely a lot of people are temporary mentor to you. But a few people may be your active mentor. And in our church, we want to see active mentoring going on from the new beginning, new believers, until that person is strong and serve God faithfully. And after that can be passive or temporary mentor happening off and on in their life. And after you finish this class, you're going to see the whole picture about mentoring. Now, we look at common characteristics of effective mentors. How many people want to be mentored? How many people want to be used by God to mentor other people? Praise God. That's a good decision. I want to tell you, in fact, in my lesson here, there are 7, but I want to add one more. 8. Number one that I want to add is that the mentor should be the people who love the Word of God and have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. You cannot lead people to Christ without knowing the Word. You cannot serve God fruitfully without being led and being controlled by the Spirit of the living God. In other words, whatever you do in life should be the product of the leading of the Holy Spirit, not your flesh. Anytime you serve God out of the flesh, this thing can happen. Controlling, manipulation, wrong motive. Everything we do should be led, should be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is one of the things that you are trained when you get lay hand on. When you get lay hand on, you come out, you get hungry, you learn how to hook up. You learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. You learn how to say, God, you take control of me. I don't want to control myself. I let you control me. So that when you step out of this church on Sunday, you go out and serve God, you learn how to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. Learn how to push your flesh down. Learn how to not listen to your mind, but listen to the Spirit of God. If you minister by the Spirit of God to the mentoree or the disciple of Jesus Christ, you get the outcome faster. And you produce spiritual people. Carnal people produce carnal people. There are three kinds of Christians. The first one, carnal Christians. Carnal Christians are those who control by their stomach, their physical need, their feeling, their physical feeling, their physical need. Number two, soulish Christian, S-O-U-L-I-S-H. That's a little bit higher than carnal Christian. Soulish Christian are those who are controlled by their mental capacity. They analyze the thing. They try to analyze a lot of things and use their own intellect, try to deal with the situation all the time. That is soulish Christian. Nothing wrong about having physical body. Nothing wrong about having intellectual function to analyze and think. But you need to go beyond that. You should be spiritual Christian. Spiritual Christians are those who are controlled by the Spirit of God. Not up here, but down here. I'm not sure you totally understand what I'm talking about, but one of these days you will understand. People who are not controlled by mental capacity, not by their flesh, but by the Spirit of God. Amen. How many people want to be spiritual Christians? Controlled by the Spirit. Amen. When you're controlled by the Spirit, you're full of love, you're full of joy, you're full of understanding and mercy. You don't judge people, you love people. It's just awesome to walk in the Spirit all the time, but not dictated by your flesh, not dictated by your mind, but dictated by the Spirit of God inside your heart here. It's wonderful. I love it. Amen. And I want to produce that kind of Christian in this church, spiritual Christian. Number two, people who can be effective mentors are those who have integrity in life and be a good model. If you don't do what you say, you don't keep your words, you lie all the time, you kind of cunning, tricky, you cheat, you do things out of wrong motive, you don't set good model to people, you don't live a life of holiness that people can trust you, no one going to listen to you. They don't want to learn from you. 2 days ago, my wife said that people need to earn the right to be listened. I got an email from somebody who tried to command me to do things. You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. This is not in our church. Email come from somewhere else. You have to do this. You have to do. God tell me you have to do this. And I read the email. I share with Pastor Da. And Pastor Da say one sentence. People need to earn the right to be heard. Is that right? Mentoring is a relational process. You need to earn their trust so that you can speak into their life. Amen? All this past, how many years now? 1988. 19 years. We are going into 19 years. I make a decision that I will stand there and worship God with all of you every Sunday. Instead of going to the room, sit drinking coffee, waiting until the preaching time and I walk out. You know why I make that decision? Because I want to be a model to you. I want to build good example that even a pastor like me have no special privilege. I worship with you. I still try every Sunday to come to church before time, before 9 o'clock. Every Sunday I try to show up here at least 15 minutes before time. Even though I don't need to, you know why? Because I'm a pastor now. I just show up late, everyone set up everything. I just come in, drive into my special car, parking, and just walk in just to preach. But I decided not to do that because I want to be a good example to all of you. That as a sheep of God, I still need to honor God by coming here before time. And I still need to stand to worship God. I still need to be like other Christians. Amen. You see what I'm talking about? You need to build that integrity. People see you and they can listen to you. Number three, you have the ability to be able to see potential in a person. In other words, you need to have the eyes of faith. Don't have the eyes of unbelief. When I see you, I see potential. I don't look down on you and say, oh, they will never make it. They never up to the par. They will never become a good Christian. No, you see people and you see potential. These people can make impact for the kingdom. God can use them. Have the eye of faith. See potential in the life of people. Number four, this is a hard one. You need to have tolerance. Why you need to have tolerance? This is hard. You understand the word tolerance. What does it mean, tolerance? Huh? I think more than patience. You just bear with other people's mistakes. You need to have tolerance because not everyone come in this room like an angel. Not everyone come in this room so clean, so nice, so pure, so godly. People come with baggages. People come with different personalities. Some people are more abrasive. Some people are like an acid. Oh, you talk to them and you feel like, oh, I don't want to be around this person. Is that right? I remember, I can quote this because you all know him. In around 1980, what year we moved to this church? You remember what year we moved here? 97 we moved here? Okay, around 1994, a man walked into our church and his name is John. You know which John? Oh, I tell you. Every Sunday, I almost say, could you please leave this church? Oh, so hard. He is so abrasive. He's so mean. You know, every Sunday, he will come to my face and like this to me. And I said, standing there, and I almost say, John, can you go to other church, please? I'm going to go up and preach in a few minutes, and you give me a hard time now. But every time he walk away, God say, son, I call you to love and forgive. And if you're patient and tolerant, he will change. He will grow. So I said, God, I'm going to obey you. I'm not going to chase him out of this church. I'm not going to give him a hard time. And all these years, John has changed so much. How many people agree with me? He changed so much. He is a lovely man now. Easier to relate to him. He's not abrasive that much anymore. I mean, it's still some a little bit, but but much less, like 99% less. So we need to be patient with people. Amen. Be tolerant to the situation. Number five, we need to be flexible. We need to learn how to give and take to each situation. If we are too rigid, we are too legalistic, we cannot make disciples. We need to give some flexibility, like raising children, the same thing. You need to be flexible to your children. You cannot be too rigid to people all the time. Amen? Be flexible. Like today, I got a few emails that people cannot show up here because they have some other things to do. I need to be flexible to them. I cannot say, oh, no, you have to come. I cannot do that. I need to be flexible to people. And hopefully they will get this CD and listen or get the tape and watch the teaching. Not only that, we need to be patient. This is different. Patience to yourself. Tolerance to the mentoree or to disciple. But you need to be patient to yourself because you know what? To build a person up takes time. Take a lot of experiences. If you're going to choose between being harsh and giving up, you choose to love and be patient and kind to the person. Don't give up. It takes time for people to grow. Sometimes I kind of complain to Pastor Da at home. Da, oh, that member give me a headache. Sometimes husband and wife, we talk about that as a pastor. I dare not share that with other people. I only share with Da. Oh, that member. And Pastor Da always say, don't forget, he or she is only 1 year old Christian. You need to be patient. You are 25 years old Christian. And he is only one. Remember when you were 1 year old Christian? I say, oh, yeah. Okay. I was even worse than that man, actually. Worse than that member. Okay, I need to be patient. So Pastor Da always corrected me. Help me to be patient. Okay, number 7, we need to have perspective or vision. We need to learn how to see down the road what's going to happen to that person. Don't look at today. Be visionary. Have a perspective of life to see what's going to happen in the future. Because if you do that, you will not lose heart easily. You will keep working on, you keep discipling, you keep mentoring, you keep teaching. Because you have faith that down the road, that person will be very effective and fruitful in the kingdom of God. Number 8, it will be good if you can ask God to have this kind of gift mix. Certain gifts are so important in mentoring process. I give you an example, the gift of mercy. If you don't have a gift of mercy, you tend to write people off. Erase them from your list. That sheep is bad. I'm not going to call that one anymore. I'm not going to talk that person anymore. I'm going to chase him out of the church. You need to have some gift of mercy. You need to understand people. You need to be compassionate to people because people are not perfect and people make mistakes. 2, gift of giving. And we're going to see later on why you need to have the gift of giving. 3, gift of exhortation. You need to learn how to encourage. The sheep need encouragement. Gift of teaching. Ask God to have the gift of teaching. Gift of faith and gift of word of wisdom. Sometimes God's disciple come to you and wonder how going to resolve the problem in life. So then you hook up to the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, God will give you words of wisdom from the Holy Spirit to help that person. You need to learn how to hook up to the Holy Spirit and operate in the gift of mercy. Operate in the gift of teaching. Operate in the gift of faith. You need to have faith for the sheep. Have faith for the disciple. Faith is not only for yourself, but faith for people around you. Amen. Hallelujah. I see so many people in this church change so much lately. Oh, I'm so happy to see the progress, the change. I and Pastor Da will continue to stand in faith for your change. 2 days ago, I was so blessed to hear that one of our members asked for the teaching CD on the series, The File of God. And I was so blessed because I've been praying for this person for a long time to be interested in the issue of the File of God. And eventually, God answered my prayer. Amen. So you don't give up. You keep having faith for that person. You keep plowing, sowing the seed. You keep loving. You keep showing mercy. You keep giving and giving and giving, sowing the seed, and you're going to reap the harvest of righteousness. Amen. Basically, what I try to say is that in order to be a good mentor, you need to have a desire to relate to other people and share what you have gained and received from the Lord to them without reservation. You want to reproduce yourself in other people's life. I want to challenge you to really set a goal that in this one life you live on earth here, you shall produce a lot of disciples out of you. You're going to produce a lot of spiritual offsprings. Amen? Can I challenge you that? That don't leave this world with nothing. Leave this world with spiritual inheritance and heritage. Leave a legacy behind to the next generation. Don't just become a Christian, go to heaven by yourself and say bye-bye. No, before you die, you will have a lot of people rise up in the kingdom and do great things for God. And that day when you go to heaven, you look back and you say, thank God that my pastor encouraged me on February 27, 2007 to make disciples in this life. Amen. There are five ways a mentor can help develop others. I go very fast here. Number one, you need to give. Giving to the younger believers. What do you give? Give your time. Give your advice. Give resources. CD, tracts, books. Whatever you can give to build that person up. We have an American gentleman who brought his wife. His wife is a Laotian woman. This man sacrificed so much that he wants his wife to grow. He's an older believer. And he came in the Thai service in the afternoon. Every Sunday I was preaching in Thai in the afternoon. I was looking at this man. I feel so bad for him that he could not understand what I say even one word because he's American. Sunday I went home. I said that I'm going to burn every Sunday morning CD and give to this man every Sunday. I want to make sure that he hear the message and he will grow himself. I don't want this man to be stagnant. I want to make sure he is disciple, his mentor, and grow. Amen. You need to have that kind of heart. You want to see everyone grow. You want to see everyone move on in God, not stay stagnant. Give them time, advice, resources, and finances. Sometimes you have to sacrifice your money to help somebody. You may have to take somebody out for dinner, pay for them. You may have to cook, invite them for dinner or lunch, and minister to that person in the lunchtime. Not only that, you give them freedom to emerge as a leader. There's a tendency of lack of security in the leadership. A few Sundays ago, I heard that Pastor Tyson preached so well here on the pulpit. Oh, many American people in the church say like this. This news come to me when I came back from out of town. Pastor Lau preached, I got only 70% of his message. But when Pastor Tyson preached, I got 100%. When I heard that, I can have two reactions. Number one, praise God. He's better than me. Or two, wow, this is not good. This man gonna bypass me. I need to push him down. I don't let him preach anymore because my reputation, my title in this church will go down. This man gonna go bypass me. I never thought that way even one bit. I'm so glad that if people in this church bypass me and do better than me, you need to get rid of insecurity and let people emerge and rise up to do the work of God. Amen. That is giving too. You're giving the freedom for people to rise up. Number two, you need to be willing to risk your own reputation. Because in order to rise people up, you need to sponsor them. You need to be with them. You need to put your name. You need to put your neck on the line. Because if they do something wrong, who get blamed? You get blamed. Because you are his teacher. You are his mentor. Number three, you need to be a model. Example. This is a hard part. Be a good example is not easy because you have to watch your life carefully. How you talk, how you respond to situation, how you spend your time, how you manage your life, how everything, how you treat your wife, how you treat people, everything, people are watching you very carefully. They watch you all the time, how you behave, how you respond to situation. That's why I want to encourage you one thing, that if you want to be a mentor, you will grow very fast. It forces you to grow because you cannot be goofy anymore. People are looking at you, watching you. They have a magnifying glass and look at you all the time. Oh, my mentor, what is he doing? Oh, that day he got mad. He lose his temper and he say bad words. Ooh, you see, they watch you. So you have to be a good model. You need to watch your emotion, watch your feeling, how the way you respond to the situation, because you're going to be a model. You're going to be an example to people. Number four, bridging those young leaders to needed resources that would further develop them. Bridge them to the right books, bridge them to the right CD teaching series, bridge them to the right kind of people, hook them up so that they could grow. You may have to even give up your mentoring process, that person to another person, if you cannot help that person anymore. You say, you know, I cannot help you anymore. Why don't I hook you up with another person? Number five, co-ministering with those young leaders in order to increase their confidence, their status, and their credibility. Let me give you two examples and I'm done. And continue next time. Acts chapter 9 verse 27. Barnabas risked his own reputation by recommending and linking Paul into Jerusalem. Introducing Paul to the apostle in Jerusalem. Is that putting his neck in the line? Yes, Paul was persecuting the church. But Barnabas willing to risk his own reputation by taking Paul or Saul to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 9 verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostle, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Look at another mentoring process. In Acts chapter 18, 24 to 26, Priscilla and Aquila were willing to give their energy, their time, to teach Apollo to understand the Bible even more clearly. Acts chapter 18, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture. You notice that Apollo already know the scripture. Some came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. You can see that discipleship was practicing in the early church. Aquila and Priscilla took Apollo into their home and taught them the Bible. Should we be that kind of people? Should we spend our life over time to help somebody else to grow? In fact, in the church, there are always somebody who are less mature than you, who less know the Bible than you, who have less experience of God than you. And if you just have the heart desire and willingness to serve the Lord, you can do something about it. You can be a temporary mentor, or you can be an active mentor. I give you an example. You can be a temporary mentor. You see somebody sitting in the church, a young man, new believer, and you walk to that person and say, what is your name? Oh, my name is Bill, for example. You say, oh, do you have time this coming week? I'd like to take you out for lunch or dinner. And you go out dinner together, encourage. And that may be the end of it. Maybe the connection never continue. But that time, you encourage that young man to follow the Lord. You are the temporary mentor to that young man to put him to the next level. But maybe that young man named Bill say, I like you. Can we meet next week again? Can we spend time together? And after a while, the relationship begin to build, and then you become active mentor of that young man. You see what I mean? You need to take initiation. You need to take active role in helping other people to grow. Many times, I got to quit here now because otherwise I will keep talking. I tell you, as a pastor, sometimes, actually it just happened today. I was sitting in my office, and I was thinking about all these member faces coming up. Actually, I was thinking about you too. What is your name, sir? Yes. Tim, I was thinking about you. In fact, I'm not lying. I was thinking about you. I saw your face last Sunday. And I was talking to myself, God, if I can have 100 Dr. Lau, Pastor Lau, I'm going to go out everywhere to meet Tim, to meet John, to meet Michael to meet everybody every week and charge them and spend time with them and build them up. But I cannot because I have limited time. I have only 2 hands and 2 feet and 24 hours a day and 1 wife and 3 kids. And I have to sleep a few hours a night. And I need to prepare sermon and prepare for the teaching in Thailand and get ready for this class. I mean, I need to read this sermon about 5 times in order to teach today, to ground it, to understand. But my heart, if I can mentor everybody, I will do it. Because I love everybody. I want to see everybody grow. But I cannot. So what I try to say is that God needs you. Because one man can do so much. And you can do so much. But if all of us help each other to do it, everyone will be taken care. Every new believer walk into the church, or even old believer walk into the church, they will be mentored. They will grow. They will move on. I think about members a lot. I think about you a lot. But I cannot do everything. And God need to depend on you to do that job. Amen. This is the heart of a shepherd. I believe this is the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit that is working in me, thinking that way. He loves his people so much. He wants to see his people grow and move on. And I want to impart this heart into you. Can I pray for you right now? Father, I pray that the impartation of the spirit of a good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be upon them. Transfer, Father, the anointing, the Spirit of God, the love people, willing to see people grow, spend their time, the energy, transferring their life, their resources into other people. I pray for those who listen to this CD too, those who watch this DVD too, Father, that the Spirit of the Good Shepherd will work in their life, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless all of you. Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.